The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And we are here to recap Indiana's 37-21 win over Rutgers last Saturday and preview the number 13 Hoosiers matchup against the number 23 Michigan Wolverines on Saturday at noon. And that game will be on Fox Sports 1. Sorry for the delay in the podcast. I had something pop up last night that was a semi-emergency. So we're coming to you on Election Day. We promise to keep it politics free as much as possible. But here we go. A word from our friends over at Bet Online. Football is back in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You may be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Well, TJ, let's dive into Rutgers real quickly before we get into Michigan. What were your thoughts from the game on Saturday?
I think Indiana gave a pretty mature, solid performance. There was certainly some concern in the first quarter, not with the score or anything like that, just the kind of mental mistakes that Indiana was making. A bit sloppy there to begin the quarter, and to be honest, it was a bit sloppy throughout the game with the penalties mainly, but, you know, it just – getting into the red zone, not cashing in with touchdowns, as partially due to a poor snap from Harry Kreider. Rutgers' drive was not their first one. I believe it's their third drive that they were able to march down the field and score after a roughing the passer penalty. Some sloppiness early. However, once Indiana got themselves settled in, I would say starting in the second quarter, they really did play a good game on both sides of the ball. The offense opened up a little bit, and we saw for the first time this season, outside of a, you know, wild 2-minute drill, we saw what Michael Penix is capable of when he's in rhythm, able to really zip some passes to different wide receivers. The drive where Rutgers cut it to 8, and Penix responded with a perfect drive right down the field. I thought it was really good play calling from Nick Sheridan on that drive as well. Indiana executed really well, got up, and the game really never truly in doubt after that. The biggest standout for me was likely the amount of pressure Indiana was able to get on Noah Vedral, the Rutgers quarterback. And that primarily came from unique blitz schemes from Kane Womack. I thought he did a really good job calling that game as the defensive coordinator. Indiana sent Taiwan Mullen on 3 separate corner blitzes. He got 3 sacks, which is incredibly rare for a defensive back. And his defensive back partners, Reese Taylor, tackled really well. He had a number of good plays. And then I think Jalen Williams has played the best football of his career so far. Through these two games, he's been really impressive as well. So I thought the secondary play, not really all that much in pass coverage, but their overall game was outstanding. And Indiana deserves a lot of credit for settling down and having – I keep coming up with that word, mature, solid. That's the type of win that a ranked team goes on the road and gets. And Indiana did that. They didn't really leave that much doubt in the outcome. They didn't spank Rutgers. Rutgers has certainly improved, but IU was the better side, and ultimately they made that show by dominating the Rutgers offensive line and doing enough on offense to get the comfortable win.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of a slow – it was a very slow start for Indiana, and then you saw Watt failure kind of pump up the defense on that one side, and I think that after that the team started rolling. Special teams was pretty good outside of the one long return and your onside kick, which you got to be – they were ready for it. You had the hands team on there. It is either a blown assignment or since Rutgers is running back and forth like 30 times on it, just a little confusion. And Greg Schiano – under Greg Schiano, Rutgers is an excellent special teams team. In his first tenure, they blocked like a gazillion kicks. They did all this stuff on special teams, which helped them win games and get to where they were under him. But I thought solid all around. Charles Campbell was Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. I thought Hayden Whitehead, although he wasn't booming kicks, was really efficient with his kicks. And you saw him kick right-footed. I'd been saying that all year. We saw him in spring practice practicing that right-footed kick. Pinned him inside the 20 there as well. It's just another wrinkle you could put on special teams, especially that he has a history of being predictable and coming up with big blocks the last 2 years in big situations. But offensively, I thought Nick Sheridan took a lot of unwarranted heat on social media and things like that. If you have to be able to block whatever you want to run. And right now, Indiana's biggest problem on offense is their left side of that offensive line. And Mike does not have a lot of time, and the run game's not really there. So all this, it's limited. And so people are saying that, oh, it looks like Mike DeBoer. Well, he is a Mike DeBoer disciple, but he's also a Kalen DeBoer disciple. And you saw that with that second drive of the second half, where they put the game away, and he was stepping up and throwing, and they went with some pace and things like that. But the fan base needs to cool it on Nick Sheridan. He's the youngest offensive coordinator in the Big Ten. He's done some really good things. They put up 37 points. Yeah, they probably could have put up more. They're 11 for 11 on the season in the red zone. Yeah, a lot of those are field goals, but you're 11 for 11. That means you're not taking negative plays. You're not turning the ball over on first, second, and third downs. And when you get in the end zone or put points on the board, and that's huge. So, you know, I'd like to see the offense use Samson James a little bit more. I thought he had a really good game, even though he only had 6 carries. I think he had 33 yards. But he's just a little bit more explosive than Stevie Scott, getting to that second level. But ultimately, it comes down to the offensive line. And Caleb Jones and the combination of Dylan Powell and Mackenzie Wara on the left side of the line is not going to cut it the rest of the season. They either have to improve drastically or you're going to have to shuffle some around. You saw Luke Haggerty come in for a little bit at left tackle instead of Caleb Jones. Maybe you kick one of them inside and move Harry or, you know, maybe Haggerty's that guy. Maybe, you know, you put Kadick at center and move Kreider back over to guard and things like that. But they got to figure that out because it's killing the run game. And more times than not, Michael Penix is under pressure and cannot throw the ball downfield. They were able to do that on Saturday. I thought they loosened up the defense with some long throws and opened up the run game a little bit. But these people who say that Nick Sheridan is terrible, and I there's some writers doing it too. And it's just, it's been 2 games. You have no idea. There was no offseason. You did not have spring football, and you did not have a full fall camp, like a regular fall camp in terms of installing stuff. They were limited in groups. So who knows what's installed in that playbook, first of all. And second of all, you've got to block for it. So, you know, you're calling an offense with one or both of your hands, you know, behind your back. And if you think it's on Sheridan, either you don't know football or you're lazy and looking for a reason to blame the offensive coordinator for a story. So I thought Sheridan called a decent game. I thought he called a decent game against Penn State. But players got to execute, and you got to block, you got to catch the ball, and you got to throw the ball, and you got to run. You know, coaches can't do that. As Giselle said with Tom Brady, you can't throw, catch, and coach at the same time. Nick Sheridan's eligibility is out and things like that. So, to me, offense, they started to gel in the second half. If they play like they did from the second quarter on against Rutgers, they'll be fine the rest of the season. Nobody in the Big Ten's beaten Ohio State unless it's COVID. So you could probably forget about that. But everybody else is gettable. So we'll see. Defensively, I thought they played very, very well. Outside of the Micah McFadden roughing the passer, I thought the Javon Swan roughing the passer was just a hustle play gone wrong. He was trying to get to the quarterback. He was being held and blocked into the quarterback, and his hand got him in the head. It wasn't a malicious play. It wasn't an undisciplined play. It was just a hustle play gone wrong. And the defensive line got their hands up. You saw Jonathan King get an interception on a ball that was batted like 40 feet in the air that probably could have been fair caught. Jalen Williams had a nice interception. Micah McFadden had a nice interception. They had three takeaways plus another three turnovers on downs. And they kind of did luck out on that crazy lateral play, TJ, where it had to have gone forward, and it did, and it was the right call. But, man, the people were getting a little anxious when it turned into a 7-point game, and that happened. But they put Rutgers to bed. They've never played well at Rutgers since the Scarlet Knights joined the Big Ten. I think this is the most complete game that they've played there since then. So let's move on to Michigan. But first, another word from our friends over at Bet Online. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at games this year, but you could still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you all the stuff that you need: spreads, totals, team, player, coaching props, whatever you want. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to Bet Online today and use promo code Armchair to take full advantage of all their great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So let's get in. Let's set the scene for Saturday, TJ. Indiana returns home, albeit with no crowd, to face the 23rd-ranked Michigan Wolverines. Indiana comes in as the higher-ranked team by two spots. They come in with more momentum. They come in, I think, with a lot less pressure. Indiana's ranked 13th. There's inherent pressure that comes with that. But Michigan just lost to Michigan State, who was a 25-point underdog in that game at home with a new coach in a rebuilding year. Jim Harbaugh is now 1-6 at home against Ohio State and Michigan State. Apparently, he hasn't worn khakis during a game all year. If they lose to Indiana, his seat is going to be on fire. He has not won a meaningful game in a very long time at Michigan. He's 0-4 in the last four bowl games. They've gotten spanked by Ohio State his entire tenure, except for that overtime game. Just how much is that going to play into this game on Saturday, TJ?
It's such an interesting matchup because opening night, we watch Michigan play Minnesota. And look, I'll be honest, I got suckered into it. I thought Michigan looked great against Minnesota. Their defense, you know, left a little to be desired, but I thought the offense ran it really well. I thought Joe Milton was effective. Not spectacular, but effective. However, Minnesota goes out and gets blasted by Maryland. gives up, you know, basically whatever Maryland wanted to do on offense, they did. So you're left with, well, what does that Minnesota win? What does that performance against Minnesota actually mean? And then the next day, Michigan goes and loses to Michigan State at home, a team that lost to Rutgers. So the transitive property, which you cannot do in sports, it's all screwed up. What we're left with is, what's Michigan have on the field? Watching their two games, I'm kind of struck by the lack of difference makers they have on the offensive side of the ball. I like their running backs. Are any of those guys, any one of them, as good as Stevie Scott is right now? I would say no. To my eye, no, they're not. Haskins, Corum, Charbonnet, Chris Evans from Ben Davis. It's been a long and winding road for him, but he's still there. They're dividing up the carries so much, none of those guys are getting into a rhythm. Joe Milton, capable runner. There were ridiculous comparisons after his performance against Michigan or against Minnesota, ridiculous comparisons to Cam Newton simply because of how big he is. He's not even remotely close to the physical runner that Cam Newton is. So far, Joe Milton has been a capable runner. But, I mean, right now, Sean Clifford is a better scrambler than Joe Milton is. So you're left with, what is it that they have on offense that scares you? The receiving core, so far, no difference maker there. There's not a single receiver that I think this Indiana secondary looks at and says, oh, we are going to have a hard time covering that guy. That doesn't mean that Michigan's going to pass for 50 yards. It just means the individual stars that you normally see at Michigan, I don't think they are there. On defense, I really like Quiddy Pay. And that's my biggest issue for Indiana in this game, the biggest thing for me to watch for. Can IU's offensive line block the pressure that Don Brown is going to send? Don Brown defense, you know what you're going to get. They're going to send a ton of defense or a ton of pressure at the Indiana offensive line and at Michael Penix and see if they can take it. If you can block it and give Michael Penix a little bit of time, you're going to have one-on-one, man-to-man coverage against a Michigan secondary that does not look very good to me. I think Indiana's receivers have the edge against the Michigan corners and safeties. Dax Hill is their best defensive player in the secondary. I'll be curious to see if they think about moving him to corner. They do have some more depth at safety, but moving him from safety to corner, because the guys that they have in man-to-man coverage aren't good enough to do that. I'm going to be very interested to see how much Indiana is able to stretch the field. If Michael Penix has time to do that, I think it can be really effective. Michigan's going to be counting on IU's offensive line not being good enough to block that pressure and that they'll be in the Indiana backfield all day. So that's going to be, right off the bat, the biggest thing to watch for as far as how successful Indiana can be is whether or not they can block the blitzes that are going to come.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I'm leaning towards Michigan in this game, is because of Indiana's inability to block up front. And if they can't hold up, it's going to be a long day. But you have a guy who could get the ball out of his hands really quickly. You have receivers who could make plays in space. And your receiving corps is pretty good blockers too. You hopefully get Miles Marshall back this week. And maybe even David Ellis. We'll see. I think an injury report is coming out tomorrow, or at least one, an inactive report comes out Saturday. But if you could get those two back with their speed and their ability, that makes your receiving core that much deeper. But are you going to have to max protect Michael Penix? Are you going to have to leave Stevie Scott in to block? Are you going to have to bring in Matt Bjorson? They really need Cam Taylor back. I think if you're going max protect with five offensive linemen and a tight end, and then you could put Hendershot out at, you know, in the slot as kind of a wide receiver too. Cam Taylor is a physical blocker. He's a butt kicker. And he's almost like another offensive lineman. I think if he was playing, the offensive line would be that much better. But it's can they hold up against the blitzes that Don Brown's going to send? And he's going to send the house. But if you could get the ball out quickly, and as you said, TJ, Michigan's defensive backs aren't great. This isn't, Charles Woodson back there. And it's not, a couple of the guys they had a few years ago back there who are great in man coverage. If you could hit a few seams in man coverage, you're going to force them to loosen up. Now, defensively for Indiana, they're going to continue. The secondary accounted for 34 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, and 2.5 sacks, and an interception. The secondary is going to have to continue to play well. But you also need to keep contained with your linebackers, with Cam Jones and Michael McFadden, and you're going to have to get more pressure from that defensive line to force Joe Milton to throw the ball, run the ball. Basically, you take the game plan that Michigan State had, and you say, let's do what we could do with it and attack Michigan that way. A lot of questions about Michigan's effort in the Michigan State game comes up as well. How much buy-in there is. I think Josh Gattis, their offensive coordinator, came out this week, said they didn't like their preparation for Michigan State for a rivalry game where each side hates each other. And it's probably the second most heated rivalry in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State and Michigan. You could throw IU and Purdue in there as well, but I think just that nationally, they look at Michigan State and Michigan as a bigger rivalry. If your players weren't locked in for that one, what are they going to do coming off a loss and going to Indiana? That's something that you have to look at too. But Indiana doesn't need to play their A-plus game anymore against Michigan. Should it? Do you hope they do? Yes, of course. You always want to bring your A-plus game. But I think the talent gap is closed a little bit to where Indiana could play their B game and play like they did. They probably can't play as badly as they did against Penn State and win. But if you play like you did against Rutgers for the last three quarters of the game, you're in very, very good shape. If Michigan plays their A game, I think Indiana still has a shot. If they play their A game, it's no longer if Michigan, like Ohio State. If Ohio State plays their A game, nobody's beating them. Nobody is. It's just it. Sorry, it was not your day today. But if Michigan comes in and plays their, I still think Indiana has a shot. But to me, the biggest thing is the offensive line. TJ, what is your keys to the game? Your one key that Indiana needs to do to win?
Well, I do want to throw in an extra point. There's plenty of ways Indiana can scheme around that pressure. Michigan comes hard up the field. They typically do give up some screen passes. They give up, which I really hope David Ellis can be back for this game. I think he could be very effective as a quick safety valve option. But a player that I do look to have a nice game is Peyton Hendershot. Against pressure, Michael Penix will be looking to get the ball out of his hands quickly. We saw a couple of these little stick routes against Rutgers that worked. I think we could see some against Michigan as well, where Hendershot's going to chip a defender that's coming on pressure. He's going to chip him and then release and likely be open. Those aren't probably going to get you huge gains, but they're going to keep you ahead of the chains. They're going to keep you from having a negative play. They're going to keep Penix off his back. Maybe Hendershot breaks one of those for a big one, but what you're looking for on plays like that, when Michigan pressures, avoid the big negative play. That's what you're looking to have happen. And look, if Penix has to throw some away, if he has to scramble out of the pocket and throw them away, that is far from the worst thing that can happen on plays like that. So my one key to the game, outside of the offensive line, which I think we both agree is going to be critical. I know the IU staff feels that way as well. So I'm going to go with Indiana's rush defense against the Michigan running game. I personally don't think that, you know, this could come back to bite me saying this, but I don't think any of the Michigan wideouts are going to give IU's, you know, defense nightmares. I do think it's very possible that their stable of running backs, again, none of which are outstanding, but I think as a group, it's a really good group.
Yep.
With a lot of varying skill sets. I do think that those guys plus Joe Milton, Michigan's game plan, I think, will be to be the more physical team and try and control this game using those players to run the ball. If Indiana can force Michigan into third down and obvious passing situations where Joe Milton has to beat you with his arm and stretch the field, I like IU's chances. So I think that that's going to be the key for the Hoosiers is the rush defense, which so far against everybody not named Sean Clifford, I think it's been pretty good. That'll need to continue on Saturday.
Yeah, my key for Indiana is going to be confidence. There's a lot of history riding against Indiana in this one. They've lost 24 in a row against Michigan.
Yeah.
Seems every time Indiana has one of their better teams, Michigan finds some way to win. You know, the two overtime game in 2015, the overtime game in 2017. It went up to their place, I think it's 2018. You know, last year everybody was pumped up, and Michigan just steamrolled IU. I think you need confidence, and you got to come in saying we're better than them. You know, even the people in the polls think so. Now the people in Vegas don't, but the people in the polls think so. And all that matters is that locker room. You can't come in saying thinking about the 24 game losing streak, the times where there have been phantom flags and out of bounds and throws into the tuba and things like that. It's you got to have blinders and confidence and go say it's a new team, new year. And then, you know, you're right. That secondary can tackle as well as they did at Rutgers. They're going to be in business. And that's, I think, you know, part of my prediction is there's just so much bad history for IU against Michigan. And so that goes into the prediction as well. TJ, what's your prediction for Saturday?
I mean, you're absolutely right. There's so many demons that need exercise. Tom Allen talked about it at his weekly press conference. You know, he didn't go out of his way to mention it, obviously, but he was asked about, you know, that pass against Michigan. And, you know, he said the pass is not predictive. It has no impact on what's going to happen on Saturday. However, you know, you do need to learn from what has happened in the past. And he feels like his team has I think he mentioned that it, against Maryland last season when Indiana pulled out a close victory, one of those that, you know, when it happened, you know, we on the site and we on this podcast, we commented like that felt like a changing of a narrative right there. It felt like that. And Tom Allen felt that way as well. He felt like it was the first time that his program and his players have seen a close game like that go Indiana's way. And then they did it at Nebraska as well. And that was another kind of block as you're building. I would say that the loss to Tennessee was a step backwards, but then the win against Penn State, a huge building block of belief forward. Now, I want to beat Michigan just about as badly as I want Indiana to beat anybody. I'm struggling to separate what I want in my heart from what is in my head. However, watching Michigan this past weekend, I did the Big Ten in football or Big Ten in 60, a great program the Big Ten Network does. Watching Michigan for these two games, I honestly feel like Indiana has more individual difference makers than Michigan does. And for whatever reason, it's the year. I'm going to go Indiana with the win. And you're right, Vegas has this one. It opened at Michigan -3.5. I would anticipate this one kicks off Michigan probably 3 or 4. I think it'll stay right about there. Usually don't see anything at 3. That's a key number. I don't think it's going to drop below that unless a ton of money comes in on the Hoosiers, which I would not anticipate. So Indiana to pull off the upset, according to Vegas, I'm going to go with 31-27. The Hoosiers get the win 31-27. I do think this will be another nail biter against Michigan, but this one goes IU's way.
Yeah, I find myself in the same battle. It's, you know, I watched the first half of the Michigan-Minnesota game, and I wasn't overly impressed. Now, Michigan ended up blowing them out, but that first half,
yeah.
Minnesota did a lot of things, and Minnesota was missing their kicker, and I think that changed the whole game. They had short kickoffs. They had long kickoff return against them that set up a touchdown. There was a missed assignment on a run.
Didn't have their punter either.
Yeah, didn't have their punter either. It was I really, really want to pick Indiana. However, I picked Penn State to win and Indiana won.
Yeah.
I was 2 points off last week. I said 35-21. I really want to be wrong this week. But, you know, part of it is that confidence. It's that confidence to say that Indiana has the better team on paper. But to me, it's going to come down to the offensive line. If the offensive line can't block, Indiana's going to get smashed. If they can hold up, IU's got a very, very good chance of knocking this Michigan team off and having a super-duper special team, like really special season. However, I've already said it publicly on other forums, I'm going to take Michigan 27, Indiana 21. It's going to come down to that offensive line play. I hope I'm wrong. I'll happily hear I told you so from you, TJ, if Indiana wins. But that's,
oh, I'll be far too happy and delirious to do anything like that. Trust me.
Yeah, just shoot me a text. I told you so. And everybody who listens to the podcast, you could send me tweets, DMs, told you so. I'm just until Indiana gets over this hump, and there's a lot of there's a lot to it. I'm gonna take Michigan. All right, TJ, that does it for today's podcast. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk on Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And hopefully you enjoy all the pregame coverage to Michigan and be back here to listen to recap. Regardless of what happens, we'll be here.
Yeah, regardless of what happens, we'll be here. We'll be writing all our stories on HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll have plenty of coverage throughout the week, throughout game day, and all of those things. Also, we did this last week for Rutgers. We had a handful of people join us. I thought it went very well on Hot Mic. Go to hotmic.io. It is our pregame halftime show with everybody. It's synced up to the call as well. We'll have people covering that and all of that stuff. So one final word from our sponsors over at Manscaped. Listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. Take a look in the mirror, and I guarantee you'll see hairs sticking out of those holes. So it's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as possible. We have a deal going on over at Armchair. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. At Armchair, with the promo code Armchair at manscaped.com. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. All right, that does it for this week's podcast. Thank you, TJ, for joining me today and being flexible. Have a happy and safe Tuesday, and we'll see you next Monday, hopefully recapping an Indiana victory over Michigan and getting ready for the Old Brass Spittoon game. For Sammy Jacobs and team of Jay Inman, have a great Tuesday afternoon.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Oh, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.